So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Hi.
And you are all welcome.
What are we welcome for? Can you please tell me?
Here's what we're welcome for, actually. So I wanted us to welcome a discussion about a very important matter.
Right.
And that is Damien's love for Crash Pad. Damien, we yes. need to talk about this movie.
Oh, yeah,
oh, no,
right.
No. That movie got talked about last week in like the nonsense podcast. We're not doing that again, right? We can't talk about such frivolous things, right?
This is a serious podcast for serious matters.
Yes. Right.
Andrew, you don't appreciate it just because you haven't watched the movie yet.
And I know
and
it's man, bad.
I make you watch it for the podcast. I won't take you 3 weeks.
Don't threaten me with such things. Right? If we go down that road, it's going to become like a violent battle, right?
No, but Andrew will lose. Douglas hasn't been fighting a violent battle, and he's picked the shittiest movies we've ever reviewed.
You really want me to try and pick bad movies,
Andrew?
I don't
think Douglas can do it on purpose.
Listen, there's no... Yeah, but you don't want to find out, do you? There's no deterrent when dealing with Douglas. You can't threaten him.
I'm like the Kim Jong-un of podcasts.
No,
right?
No, Douglas, you're more like Trump.
You two are superpowers, right? And I'm the soldier on the ground stuck in the shit. Just fuck, I hate this. Just week after week coming in here, I hate everybody. This goddamn podcast.
Oh. All right, Damien, you've spoken the truth.
Yeah.
We shall have a ceasefire.
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't do this.
This battle only lasted a few minutes, but we're back.
Andrew, I'm the Rocket Man.
Exactly. I'll be like
is it weird?
Like Kung Fu movies?
Is it weird that in my head I just had The Rock playing with Nick Cage going like, did you ever listen to The Rocket Man?
Oh, The Rock, like the movie.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, I thought that thought right after I said it. But when you say The Rock nowadays, there's
it's
only
the
one.
The way you think about what he's cooking.
Yeah.
And exactly. Why that's not on the Food Network yet.
Did you smell it?
No, you didn't. Anyways, moving right along, as we're not talking about whatever horseshit movie Douglas wants to talk about. We're going to talk about the horseshit movie Douglas wants to talk about. And we're going to talk
about... Total three of us agree that Crash Pad is pretty good.
So this week, Douglas has asked us to come together to talk about the latest film from David Lowery, the man who brought us Ain't Them Body Saints.
Wait a second. What movie are we talking about today?
Ghost Story?
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
What movie did you
watch? No, I watch a movie. Okay. I just forgot. That's why I was so happy this entire time. I don't even remember what. You said Crash Pad. I'm like, yeah, let's talk about Crash Pad. And no, Andrew's like, no, Damien.
Fuck.
Oh, Jesus. I was wondering why I watched that movie. I'm like, what? Because I remember being upset. I'm like, Ain't Them Body Saints, I know this. Fuck, I hate this. Why am I watching this? And now I remember. I was told to.
So I didn't actually know that he directed Ain't Them Body Saints.
He also directed Pete's Dragon, if we want to talk about the continuation of his career.
Not a particularly good
director. Yeah.
So this movie, A Ghost Story, starring Rooney Mara. Why can't I remember his name right now?
Casey Affleck.
Rooney Mara, Casey Affleck, and a Casey Affleck in a bedsheet. Is a story about a man who dies and gets stuck in a house for the next infinitum. Right? Douglas, please proceed.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So, I picked this movie, of course, for a few reasons.
Bedsheets.
I absolutely adore Rooney Mara.
Not bedsheets. Tell me bedsheets. Mm-hmm. I know it's bedsheets.
Two, I like Casey Affleck.
A lot.
Just say bedsheets.
And three, I learned...
Sharks!
I learned at some stage that this movie involved Casey Affleck for a large portion of time walking around in bedsheets as a ghost. And
you thought
that
was funny?
Yes, I did think it was funny.
Was it funny?
Actually, also, No, it wasn't. Actually, also listened to Rooney Mara talk about this movie because she was on the WTF podcast fairly recently. And she spoke about a bunch of things. The one that thing that resonated with me is apparently pies freak her out. And she had a scene where she had to eat a whole pie in this movie. And that was fun to know.
Hold on. Give me a minute. Douglas, mm-hmm. Do pies freak you out?
No, pies don't freak me out. They freak out Rooney Mara.
But you said it resonated with you, so like I'm...
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't have said it resonated with me. It was just the big thing that I remember. Yeah. Because it's, you know...
Because it's so ridiculous.
It's so random.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of things about this movie I really wanted to watch. But then, because it seemed like... It could be sort of this interesting... It could go either way, right? It could be real funny because you've got a guy which is a ghost in sheets. And it could have gone anywhere from he really died and the sheets, you know, this is how we're representing a ghost, which is actually what happened. Or it could have been he didn't really die and this is just a joke where he's a ghost under sheets and maybe he's either a little bit crazy or just an asshole or whatever.
So it didn't go. I have a quick question. As you're proposing varying versions of this movie in your head that you have before you press play, I want to know, were you happy or disappointed with what you saw when you pressed play?
For the most part, I was disappointed. But there definitely was some value to this, right? And we'll talk about that in a moment. I thought this. There's no way this could be bad. There are just so many positive indicators. We've got the talent. We've got the potential for tomfoolery. However, the one thing that I didn't consider was that if you watch a movie that you really don't know anything about, anything could happen. And in this case, anything did.
Hold on, Damien. Damien, I'm concerned. Douglas hasn't learned that lesson yet after all of these years of picking his movies?
That is what I'm telling you, Andrew. You can't fight him. He learns nothing.
I'm like the ghost in this movie.
Is Ted Danson there rebooting him every week?
What? Oh, God, that show.
That show, I love that show more and more every time I watch it. And it's sad how much I love that. Because that show is pretty
shitty. I'm upset. I can't continue. I can't finish second season. I have to wait for episodes now.
Oh, have you reached where we are now? Okay. But yes, I really do enjoy that show. I remember being kind of upset when you didn't like it with me, Andrew. But I feel vindicated.
It feels a lot like how I remember How I Met Your Mother feeling. Where every week you just went, I can't believe this. This premise is so dumb. Yeah. And yet, here we go.
Alright, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract us away from the ghost story. Please, Douglas, proceed.
Yeah, definitely. No, we definitely need to get to the bottom of this ghost story.
Yup. But so, this movie ended up being extremely melancholic. Extremely sad. And I think there were some things about it that I really did like, just in concept, in theory. So as we said, right, let's actually talk about what this movie is about. So Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck are a couple. I assume they're married, but I'm actually not 100% sure, but they're a couple. They are living in this house that's kind of shitty. Actually, that's not really a big deal. The big deal is that Casey Affleck dies. And then he becomes a ghost. And it's kind of the story of the ghost that clings to life or clings to what used to be his life. Is essentially waiting for for Rooney Mara or can't leave her. But in doing that, he leads a solitary life, but it's, I guess, an afterlife.
It's a solitary afterlife.
Yeah. So he becomes this sort of roaming poltergeist, and just the rest of this movie is the tragedy is not the best word. The sort of just cripplingly depressed story of this entity, this personality, this being, just complete being unfulfilled for, let's call it, eternity. And I don't know. I mean, it's such a simple premise that I'm not sure if I'm spoiling anything by doing that. And Andrew can decide to bleep me out if he has to. It's this movie becomes extremely sad and extremely introspective. Well, no, introspective isn't what it is. It just becomes solitary. So he actually is drawn back to his home where he and his lady friend lived, and he just kind of stays there even after she leaves, because it sort of poses this reality or this version of the ghost town, the ghost story, where I guess it's all about purpose and not so much about what that purpose was, in a way, right? So the ghost, the entity, feels strongly that they need to be doing something, but they don't know exactly what that is, right? So when she leaves, he knows that he's alone. He knows that he is waiting on someone. He knows that there is someone that he wants to, or something that he wants to do, but you get the feeling that he doesn't quite know what that is. And he kind of has to sit around and not necessarily figure it out, but stay there until it becomes apparent. And that is essentially what happens, and the sadness that this movie kind of creates, kind of puts in there is... I didn't really like this movie, but I definitely respected that aspect of it. Just how committed they were to this vision that they had, and how well they actually built on it. And they did build on it well, and they did a lot of things. There is a portion in the back end of this movie where you just kind of think to yourself, oh, really? Is that where we're going? This is kind of crazy. But... all in all, I definitely respected like the gumption on this guy for what he was trying to do. And there were certain small aspects of this movie that I did actually quite like. That feel, for instance, the feel that they put, and the way that, in a way, the ghost aged, right? Because as you went along in the timeline, you saw that the sheets got dirtier and dirtier. They got grayer and grayer, and you could kind of judge time by it. And I really liked how he depicted time, because it no longer, if we're talking about an eternity, time doesn't flow the way it flows to me and you anymore. You kind of just, the way he shows that time passes with it wasn't, you know, sometimes you might think about it as these panoramic, what a lot of people do sometimes is they'll put a camera outside and they will do a time lapse and make it go faster. And that's kind of what he did, but without doing a time lapse. And I think that's the best way to describe how I felt what he did. It was great. But what he did is, like, you know, you'd see people go in and out quickly, and then all of a sudden you'd see furniture there and furniture not there. It was kind of cool. I really like that. But if you knit all of those pieces together, I wouldn't say I was the hugest fan of this movie. Overall, it was definitely maybe not the hugest disappointment, but a disappointment nonetheless, because this is not a movie I had to revisit.
Damien.
Hi.
On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 10 being the greatest and 1 being the worst, how well do you rate Douglas's attempt to defend the horseshit movie?
Like, he tried, so we'll give him... I've given this attempt like a 3.5. It wasn't his best attempt. Right. You can tell that he didn't put a lot of time into it. In the middle parts there, he was just rambling on, talking about sheets and dirt. And furniture movie, like, but there's no real vigor because he doesn't actually like this movie. So, but he's just, you remember that interview that he had on TV a couple of years back where he came on CVM and said words and then ran off the screen? It's basically what he did. I think he just filibustered a podcast.
Oh, nice. I think that's going to be the name of the episode, The Filibuster Podcast. So yeah, this movie is bad. And herein lies the thing, like, I can take all of what Douglas is saying, and that's the kind of thing that you would talk about when you want to talk about what the movie is about, right? Which I'm not saying isn't important. Like, if we're going to be a podcast where we just want to talk about what movies are about, then sure, Douglas just did it. This movie is about all of those things. It's about people moving on after, and especially in a movie in which the crux of the issue between Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck was the fact that she wanted to move to another location. It becomes so interesting that it does that, but at the same time, kind of like how Douglas kind of faltered, and Damien is going to be even easier saying this movie wasn't a movie that I enjoyed watching in any sense, right? It was one of the few times, and I mean, you guys can point to many movies that I've made us watch that does this sort of, but I end up coming on with such vigor and interest and enthusiasm for one of the few times where I sit there and I'm like, it's really nice to have dialogue in movies sometimes to kind of have something to latch onto. I'm actually interested in the fact that Douglas at no point mentioned the song that Casey Affleck made in this movie. Right? As someone who generally hangs on to music in movies as a crutch. Right?
Whatever.
That's probably why I didn't end up liking it, because the song sucked. If it was a good song, it'd be like, alright guys, listen.
Yeah, that's what it was. The song wasn't good enough, so the movie wasn't good enough.
Right.
But yeah, this movie, this is the kind of movie that I chuckle at because it's that one-line Twitter joke of people saying, oh, look, it's Casey Affleck in a bedsheet. That's hilarious. Right? But to watch the actual movie, it is not a movie of any sort of interest or joy for me. It was not a wonderful, empathetic catharsis of a film for me to kind of trudge through. It was just a boring ass 90 minute movie.
That's it?
That's all I got.
We're done? This movie fucking sucks. Douglas, there is two scenes in this movie that kind of exemplify why this movie sucks. Because it reminds me of another, let's call it a movie, where a man sets a camera down and then walks away for, say, a half an hour. And then he compiles those and then put it in a movie. And we panned that movie hard because it was bad. It was a slideshow pretending to be a movie. And there's points in this movie where the same thing happens. Rooney Mara eats a pie for what feels like 9 months. And I went, there must be something else. There's a reason they're showing me this. No. I guess the director heard that she doesn't like pies, decided to fuck with her.
You didn't need that pyrite. Here's another one.
Right. And then, like, Casey Affleck dying and the bedsheet thing. Like, before he left the hospital, I was just like, if he double down, like, if he's like, wait, they think I'm dead. Let me keep the sheet on and just walk through the hospital. And everybody's like, I don't have time for this today. And I've gone, all right, movie. I see what you're doing. But the movie isn't that. Like, it is very self-serious. But the thing that it's talking about is nonsense. Like, it's hard to be serious about a thing that doesn't exist. And this movie tries hard. And it thinks it's achieving something. But just like his previous two movies, in the Mud, it says it's trash.
Thank you. And I'm not the only one who hates that movie.
Pete's Dragon is... I mean...
God, Pete's Dragon's awful. Okay.
Like,
right?
Like, no. It's... I am upset by the amount of talent wasted in Peace Dragon. And I am upset by the amount of talent wasted in this movie. Like, these two actors should have been given dialogue and a story. And instead, he pointed to a bedsheet and then pointed to a cake and went, I have 90 minutes of film here.
A pie.
Sorry. My apologies.
You're offending all the cakes in the room.
There's a point, there's one glimmer of hope when he tore up the place during the
poltergeist scene.
Right.
I was like,
the Mexican people were living there and he like trashed the place. I'm like, oh, all right. So like this is going to end with them getting like an exorcist or some, like this is going to escalate and it's like he's just upset that, but no. No. And then it went beyond time and space and then wrapped itself around. Mm-hmm. And by the time it got there, I went, when did Terrence Malick start influencing all directors to make shitty movies?
I actually did think that. I thought to myself, this is a Terrence Malick kind of movie.
What the shit is happening?
Can you guys stop blaming Terrence Malick for every bad movie you don't like?
Who else do we blame?
I don't know. Pick someone else. Just give Terrence Malick a week off.
It's always his fault. I've seen his movies. You've seen his movie. Andrew, listen. I know you think you like Terrence Malick, and that's okay. But you're wrong. Just know deep down that you're wrong. But like, if I said to anyone, Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck are in a movie, you'd go, all right, I'll watch that movie. And if you get this, you are going to look at me the next time I tell you anything. And if not, punch me in the face. Use a lot of expletives.
I'm just saying Rooney Mara was in the last Terrence Malick movie.
I still haven't watched that movie, by the way. I'm so afraid, Andrew.
Why would you? Like, why? Why would
don't
you?
Watch it, Damian. Douglas. Don't watch it.
Don't you learn?
There's so many people in that movie that mm-hmm. I want to see.
Yeah, dog.
And it's a movie about music.
Douglas, it says T.
I know.
And then there's a Malick at the end.
But I want to watch a movie. I really do.
To Malick.
You have to know better.
That's why I haven't watched it yet. Right? But yeah. I know there will come a time.
There'll never come a time, Douglas.
I'll break and...
Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, Terrence Malick made a good movie. Maybe I should... Like, he'd have to make a good movie first and based on the evidence. It's never going to happen. I think this is the last movie I'll be watching from this director. Like, he was 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he made Peace Dragon. Yeah, I knew he made In Embodied it. And then when I was so upset with this shitty movie, I looked to see who directed it. And when I saw that, I went, why am I watching this? But I didn't see Peace Dragon because, of course, Google was smart enough to pretend Peace Dragon does exist. It's like, I don't know what a Peace Dragon is.
Google's been listening to you.
Right. It was like, oh, Damian is searching. I should probably filter out Peace Dragon.
Is it weird that whenever I see anybody with this guy's last name, I just hear Ian Holmes in Brazil?
Mike Lowry.
Lowry. Yeah.
I watch too much basketball to do that. There's a guy called Kyle Lowry.
Oh, I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, so.
I'd have like a soundboard with just, you know, different versions of Ian Holm calling that name.
Except I like basketball too much. It ruins a lot of things. I caught myself one day, someone mispronounced a name, but I knew the correct pronunciation because I watch a lot of Formula One. But I caught myself just before. I'm like, what? No, it's not. And I went, Damian, who gives a shit? Don't do this. Don't be that guy. No one likes that guy. You don't like that guy. You were to correct a Jamaican on pronunciation. Like, it's a battle you cannot win.
What always makes me feel a little bit bad is when I don't do that, right? But somebody says something. Let's not even say they're incorrect. Let's just say they pronounce it differently from how I pronounce it. And then I'm somehow forced to say the word again.
Right.
And
you're caught in between saying it wrong so that they don't know, or saying it right and being a dick.
Being a dick, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have really bad moral issues to deal with sometimes.
Yep.
You're all going to be in the bad place.
Oh, no, that is for certain.
I never doubted it one moment.
Yeah.
I
wasn't trying to get into the good place. I accepted that a while ago.
When I was watching the show and catching up, I thought that the show had peaked at Adam Scott being a devil.
Mm-mm.
And then when they presented me with Ted Danson, the devil, I realized that there was more to come.
Well, if you think about it, right? So, for a little while, I was thinking, oh no more Adam Scott. Which probably is the case because he has a new show, but
it won't be on for long. Don't worry.
But if you think about it, the way that they've done the story is that everybody was an actor, so he could still come back.
Yeah, he could just pop in for an episode or two, which would be
exactly
nice.
As something completely different.
They can just cast him as somebody in that show,
just somebody in the thing. Yeah.
I love real Eleanor. Whatever she's become at this point, like whatever they call it, that's what she's in my head. I love her.
Mm-hmm. She's good. I like her.
I like the lady in the nowhere place. Just,
just not bring cocaine.
Please tell me.
Every time.
I tell you.
And I love that the last time.
She remembered.
She remembered. Yeah. She's like, just pack cocaine. And then she doesn't actually go.
Right. She's like, no, we saw you.
Like, it's strange. I remember when that show just started, I watched like the opening two episodes. And I was like, and the show kind of looks like whatever, I can't bother deal with it. And I left it alone. And I watched the internet go up and down about the show. And I was like, nah, I'm leaving them alone. You guys said something. I'm like, well, I'm kind of watching it again. I'm enjoying it. But, the end of that season leading into what the second season is, that is the greatest part of the show.
I mean, the thing about this show is, I don't feel like I can actually say legitimately that there is a greatest part of this show.
Yeah.
This show is just generally shitty, but there's just something about it that
there is a greatest part.
Watch it every time.
He is a monk and does not speak. And
oh, the words that come out of that guy's mouth.
Like, I want to meet whoever is writing that character.
Just more Jackson Village references.
I just need to meet a person that
do the Jacksonville Jaguars ever win the Super Bowl? No.
I love it. He just laughs in his face. He's
like, like everything. Like, you know that it is a stereotypical dumb character, but they keep like it keeps going further and further, and it's like this is incredible. He tries to rob the place by sealing himself in the safe. Just like, oh my god, damn it.
I liked when they showed me how Chidi died.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, that was, like, I like him probably the most of all of the humans, the torture subjects.
Right, he's the most decent of all of them.
Yeah, well, I love that.
No, I just like the way he views being tortured. Right. I like how they mess with him in his own way.
Yep. It's like, give him a choice and watch him squirm. But And it doesn't even have to be a good choice.
Yeah,
it
just could any be choice.
A great thing versus a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, he will match it out for decades. But
twist himself into knots.
I love that they have essentially postured. They have said that the reason that he, that guy, is in the bad place in hell,
mm-hmm.
is that he's annoying.
No, it's because he tortured everybody else in his life.
No, no, no. That was like the corollary, right? It was like, you're annoying and that's why you're annoying everybody else. But the reason is you're annoying.
Yes.
Which...
I agree with that. That sounds...
My God.
I hope that's how they do it.
I'll never make it to the good place ever at all. Anyways, what was it I wanted to talk about? Not just The Good Place, because The Good Place is great, and we're all on board, and hopefully we won't spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet.
There's not much to spoil.
Yeah. Anyways, there was one, I'm guessing we're done with ghosts and stories.
Definitely.
Yeah, cool.
Let's never do that again.
We could watch other ghost stories, just not that ghost story.
Or... Let's not do that.
There's one movie I wanted to talk about that I saw this week.
Right.
I got to watch the directorial debut of John Carroll Lynch. And if you don't know his name, he is the guy who played the Zodiac Killer in Zodiac.
Okay.
He directed the film by the name of Lucky, starring Harry Dean Stanton.
Is this an old movie or a new
movie? It's a new movie. Just came out.
Okay. This makes sense because... And you can talk about it all you want, but I've been wondering because every time I go to my Letterboxd stream, all of you goddamn Canadians are watching this movie. And I'm like, what is this movie? How is it that Harry Dean is in a movie now? But I guess it's... You can tell me how that worked. Yeah.
So this movie is about Harry Dean Stanton, who plays Lucky, who is just an elderly gentleman living in a small town in Texas, and about him just experiencing the town and all of the characters involved, which includes the likes of Ron Livingston. I think her name is Maria Clark. I can't remember exactly. As well as David Lynch. To name a few of the characters that are in this movie. And it's one of these movies where, like, if you read some people talking about it, they're going to talk about how it is a film discussing someone at the tail end of their life coming to terms with their mortality, which, sure, it kind of is there, but who gives a shit? This movie is a character actor hug of a movie to the world of character actors. As everybody loves Harry Dean Stanton for their own reasons, right? Some people might talk about Pretty in Pink, some people might talk about Alien. Everyone loves Harry Dean Stanton in their own tiny way, even if you don't even know his name.
He's in Pretty in Pink.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
He plays somebody's father. Actually,
of course,
right.
He plays that guy.
Yeah.
That would make sense. And I would imagine he plays the father of somebody that he wants to murder.
Why?
Because
why would you have him murder Stanton. People?
Because my mental image of him has an axe in one hand and a hammer in the other.
I'm concerned for you. And this movie also, in a lot of ways, feels like a spiritual successor to Paris, Texas, a movie that we saw.
I love that movie
quite
so
recently.
Much. I think Damien hates it, though.
Hmm?
I said I love that movie a lot, but I have a feeling Damien hates it.
But it's a spiritual successor in only in that it's this story about this guy just interacting with people around the world and around his town. And it's one of these movies that we've seen before where as he walks from part to part from the store, the corner store with the Latin American clerk who he speaks Spanish with, to the diner with Joe the asshole, who he shouts "you're nothing" to the bar where David Lynch is talking about his missing tortoise, and how every time someone calls it a turtle, he gets a little bit more upset.
Sorry, his missing what?
Tortoise. Like the hare and the.
And the what?
Tortoise.
Close enough.
Like, I'm confused.
It is no. But yeah. You heard
the first time. Now. Yeah, I think I heard the same thing, but it's fine.
Whatever. And it's
he's Jamaican. Christ. He speaks ungodly.
It's just one of these movies that bring all of these pieces together in a way that just feels endearing and loving and just I don't want to use the word fun because it's not like one of those effervescent ones, but it's one of those ones that are just like it's a movie that makes you smile through and through, and it finds ways to surprise you, right? Like you just have this unassuming older gentleman who at every turn will find ways to just pop out and be like, oh, I didn't know that about you. Almost like talking to an older member of your family that for the first time you're asking about pieces of their lives that they never talked to you about. It's a really good movie. And for us film idiots who constantly talk about how we love those tiny characters in all of our movies. We love Harry Dean Stanton, who just takes up that 20-minute block of a movie and we never see him again. I'm happy to see him in this film. It's a fun movie, and I guess it will be seen as a noteworthy movie if only because it's his final performance since he passed away this year. But yeah, I hope you guys get to see it soon.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, movies like that's gonna be on VOD pretty quickly, and I suppose I'll watch it. I didn't realize, so I made the assumption, probably because he died the other day, that it was more of a documentary on his life or somehow related, and that it didn't necessarily need him to, you know, do what I would assume is work. But okay, yeah, I'll watch that movie.
You guys tasked me to watch a couple movies. One, you have forbidden me to talk about.
You may now talk about it.
Because I enjoy it. And because you're a mean person. So I'll start with Big Mouth, the TV show. Douglas said I should watch it because it is dumb. Douglas is correct. That show, it's real dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that dumb show.
The Hormone Monsters.
Hormone Monsters are my favorite part.
Yeah. Specifically the lady Hormone Monster.
When she's just like her ability to flip from being normal to like extremely angry in like a nanosecond. Reminds me of a lot of things that happened to me in teenage years. Grew up with two sisters. It was always fun to see which one of them was coming.
And it's voiced by Maya Rudolph. Yeah. Andrew. Maya Rudolph is perfect.
Spectacular.
So something that I really like about the show as well, and it's a dumb joke that only I have in my head because nowhere on this earth would anybody think about this. So there are, of course, people voice multiple roles in this show. And Maya Rudolph is in this show as a hormone monster, but she's also in the show as somebody's mom. And that person's dad is, and I'm forgetting the name all of a sudden, another former SNL guy that is now on that IFC show.
What the IFC
essentially,
show?
But essentially, you'll get to who I'm talking about when I say this. Essentially, what they've done is they've brought back together Prince and Beyonce. And I'm loving that. There's no reference to it.
Right.
There's no... It's not even a thing that anybody thinks, maybe we could play on this. No, it's just something in my mind and my mind alone.
It's like the Prince show.
Frank, no.
Stop. Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen, yes, thank you.
I love Fred Armisen.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, sure.
He was the best part of that Band-Aid movie.
I keep meaning to watch that movie.
It's not good. I mean, you might enjoy some of the music, but the story. So, like, at some point, that onion joke that they wrote years ago, like cliche movie Critics say cliche movie is cliche. That's like the header. Like, this movie might as well have just been. You can shut your eye and you've seen this movie. Yeah. Did you listen to The Bugle this week?
No, I'm like 20 episodes behind. Okay,
because Zaltzman has a movie review that is spot on for what has been happening in movies over the last couple of years. He's a real monster. I started watching Bushwick.
This doesn't sound very good.
And yeah, it wasn't very good. It didn't start very good. And so what happened was, I had 1 hour to get to sleep one night. And I said, all right, these three movies that they told me to watch, I'm going to watch 20 minutes of each. And then whichever one seems the best. That is why the review, the comment on your post was, I've seen 20 minutes of this, and it seems all right. starting watching Bushwick, and I enjoy his character in the Marvel movie. What's that Marvel movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Join him in Drax. As Drax. But, like, he's trying to do kind of the same character, but the writing isn't as strong. Like, he isn't an unfeeling person that doesn't understand social nuances. He's just playing a meat monster in this one. And,
yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I kind of like him, though. Like, every movie I've seen him in, he's been either Drax or just a heavy, kind of like when you saw him in Spectre. Right? Yeah. He's also in the new Blade Runner movie.
Okay.
And, like...
As a scientist?
As a replicant.
You're an asshole.
I like, for some reason though, every time I see him, I kind of decided I like him.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with him. It's just that the movie doesn't start out as strongly as I had hoped. Given the description.
Maybe I oversold.
Right, it's given not, the description.
It's not like the greatest, but it's one of those slow, I don't even want to call it a slow burn in that, because it doesn't, I don't know if it really culminates to anything.
Right.
But I just watch it and I love that at some point I realized, oh, this is just a mindless action movie. And I enjoyed the way that that went.
Right, but there wasn't enough mindless action in the first 20 minutes. Yeah. So I went, all right, fine.
Yeah, they tried, it kind of, they took the Gareth Edwards approach. Right.
They thought there was a story and then realized, oh, wait, there's
no story. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Monsters.
Okay. Where there's a lot of setup and then it becomes awesome towards the end.
Like I wouldn't say that, but just...
They try and pay it off towards the end.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Then I sat down to watch Let the Bullets Fly. And
I haven't watched that.
Andrew, I think you might be off the mark with this one. Here's the thing, though. Only saw 20 minutes.
Right. Have you met Choi and Fat yet?
Which one of them? They all look the same to me. Oh, I feel better.
I hate you so much.
Damien, this whole segment just got cut off.
Nope, that gets to stay.
So who is it, this Jackie Chan? I don't know. Let the Bullets, like, I don't know if it is because it was number 3 on the list, and I was already excited to like continue watching Crash Pad, or maybe it was later, maybe it was fatigue or whatever, but
or maybe it was bad.
Yeah, but the first 20 minutes of this went absolutely nowhere. Like, staring at this movie, like, I'm sure something is supposed to be happening in this movie, but the alarm went off and nothing did. And now it is time for me to go to my bed. But I got Crash Pad out of it. I do like me some Crash. Listen, Crash Pad is not a good movie.
No,
just
it's
just
not.
To be clear to everyone, because people hear me and Douglas talk and laugh, and they'll assume things that are just blatantly false. This movie is stupid with the capital S. Like, he has a one night stand with Christina Applegate, and then she dumps him, and somehow her husband decides to shack up with him, and it is this wild and crazy thing. Basically what Douglas said last week. And if you're in the right mind frame, like, if you can accept that all this movie is an excuse for Donald Gleason to be this weird, let's just bumbling idiot the entire time, then you'll have yourself a time. But if you're expecting literally anything apart from that, you're going to be you'll know if you like this movie 5 minutes into this movie. The first time he's naked and talk about his womanly hips and it's an optical illusion. If you are on board there, then you then good. You know what? But if after that joke you're like, I'm not doing this, then don't even watch 10 more minutes of this movie. Because all this movie is Donald Gleason doing work.
And dancing.
And, oh, Jesus. Mm. Oh, my God. That final
optical illusion, like, I'm now interested in maybe watching this movie.
Andrew,
you'll know.
So fucking
you'll
stupid.
Know 5 minutes so in. Good. Like, you don't have to watch the full movie. 5 minutes and you're there. Although, you're the same person that didn't like War and Everyone. So I don't know
why. What
is wrong with you.
I like Free Fire. Does that help?
It does help. It would help even more if you watch War and Everyone again and realize the error. Like, it's okay to apologize. I apologize about The Witch. I was wrong. Okay? Right? It doesn't feel good. But the truth is the truth.
I do have to apologize if I don't watch the kid.
I know. That is what Douglas was hoping with. What was it? The Avengers?
Oh, the Avengers? Yeah.
I was like, that movie fucking sucks. I'm like, you're right. And then 1 hour in, it becomes amazing. There's a part where they fight people for an hour. That part of that movie is pretty good. The rest of it, nah, it's alright. But now I need more movies for you guys to suggest, because that is, I'm basically abandoning 2017. Like, we said this every year.
Yeah.
That movies this year are trash. But I looked, this year, I put in work. I went back through the calendar.
Isn't technically Crash Pad this year? I think it's this year.
Yeah.
So we can put that in the top 10.
I went back through the calendar to go, all right, Damien, what's really good? And this year is a shit year for movies. I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and regretted rewatching Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
You know, it's opposite for me, but maybe it's because I started from the low base. Remember, I said that, yeah, I liked it, but it felt kind of crappy. It felt like an episode, a middle episode of a TV show that just was, you know,
right.
Whatever.
It felt like more Guardians.
And it still does, but when I watched it the second time, knowing what I knew about it before, you kind of turned on the crash pad part of your brain and was just like, yeah, this is great.
The thing is, I watched the first one and then rolled into the second one.
Yeah,
and when you watch them side by side,
yeah,
it is stark how much better the first one is. The first one still feels like special. That's what, and
it's
the second
actually,
one,
it's lost its specialness to me.
The second one, I don't like. It feels like someone took, like ran this through the photocopier like 100 times, and it still looks like Guardians of the Galaxy, and there's still some things in there with Rocket especially, being
Drax.
Dicks to everybody, and Drax laughing, but then the rest of it.
Yeah. The problem with that
I
movie,
hate
I think,
you
is
all.
That there's no setup, right? So there is no. It kind of just starts.
Yeah.
And you're there. And you keep, at least for the first half hour, thinking, okay, but when are we going
to
slow
about?
Down and tell
me
what's going on? And it just doesn't. It just, it's them trying to, you know, escape this guy and escape. And it never.
And then, like,
gives you
the big bad being a guy that plants a tree and it's eating what you're just like. You guys need to scale it back. Like, I know it's a group of them, and so you need a big threat. Mm-hmm. But you can't just have, just separate one of them and have someone threaten one of them.
And the
instead
about...
of the whole world attacking them, which is some bullshit.
So is it the funny thing about, like, well, not necessarily that reason that you had a while ago, but the one that I had is, that that's exactly why I love John Wick 2. So it's hard for me to cling to that.
No, but John Wick 2, it wasn't just one man that, like, is... like is all powerful. Like that is what John Wick 3 will be.
Oh, yeah.
But it will be many people that come to attack him, right? As he murders his way through, I assume 19 million people.
And by the way, how Drax has not come in, John Wick is a mystery to me.
It's they coming. It's thing. Coming. Right. Don't worry.
It's, Wick 3. Right. Come on, Wicked Drax. Wicked. Oh, guys, if you're listening. Part of me want to call, want them to call it the Wicker Man. I've been thinking that since the first one. I think about changing it in XMFC. Like, I could call these the Wicker Man.
Could he be John Wiggity Wiggity Wick?
That's pretty good.
You guys are idiots. I should have never left you alone.
Wicknam. But yeah, you guys need to give me one movie each so that I have something to watch that isn't the six. I have it down to 620 movies.
You can go and watch Blade Runner 2049.
It feels great. I'd have to go to Carib. First of all, it's not at Carib. I don't.
It is.
It's been at Carib actually before it came out in Canada. Apparently. Oh. I saw it like in the middle of last week or this week or whatever it was.
And you've
seen, you saw it?
No. Sorry.
No, I saw he it saw on the marquee. It advertised.
Yeah. I have not seen it.
And you've seen Kingsman 2?
I saw that. Yeah. I did.
Watch I have it. Not seen Kingsman 2.
I need to come to care. I can't go by myself. Because if I go by myself again, I might stab someone to death.
I'll come with you and watch. You know,
fucking like Jesus Christ. I told you what happened to me, right? Where they wouldn't let me through to buy the ticket.
What?
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
Oh, I guess I only told you, Andrew. So I went there and the ticket, the paper was finished in the front, machine at the front.
Uh-huh. They've done that to us
and they're before. Like, I'm like, all right, cool. Can you let me through so I can buy the ticket at the back one?
Uh-huh.
And the lady was straight up like, no. I'm like, wait, you think I'm going to walk around this entire building? And she was just like, and so I went to the security. I'm like, can you just let me? I just need to buy a ticket. Like, I'm not trying to.
Mm-hmm.
It's this fucking car, but I've done this already. Just let me through and let me go buy the ticket. And they were like, no. And I'm like, you know what? Let me talk to a supervisor. Let me talk to somebody. Right, and I hate doing that.
I love when we get so upset that the amount of effort that we put in to communicate our upsettedness is about tenfold, ten times the amount of effort it would take to just do the shitty thing that we
I'm just like, let me talk. And then when they're like, oh, there's those supervisors, you know, I started laughing. I like, I'm sure people who saw what happened to me. I was like, he's going to kill everybody. I started laughing. I'm like, you know what? It's my fault. And she looked at me and I should have come to this fucking place. And just walk off. Like, fucking Carib. Jesus Christ.
Did you not offer to let her hold your hand while she walks into the
like,
other
I don't
side?
Know like... what. I don't know what. Like, Douglas, I was trying to be as nice because I didn't want to be there. I was just like,
which movie is it that you went to see?
Kingsman.
Okay. It's alright, the movie's not bad.
And I just went, so I keep hearing, and I'm like, fucking care. It's fun. And I saw that it was in 3D.
It is, yes. It's in
3D. Yeah. Oh, alright, someone lied to me.
Yeah, it's in 3D. Or maybe they've taken it off now, but when I saw it, and I saw it fairly early on, it was in 3D.
Okay. But just fucking care. Like, no, I remember the story. I'm not fucking going back to care. I'll watch whatever it is in 4 months.
Andrew
or whatever.
Damian just punched the microphone.
Piece of shit.